Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
All right, we're back. Thompson to Clark. The Giants are not as hot as they once were last week, when we were last chatting.
Yeah.
But a cursory look at some of the numbers that I like to gauge on how good of a team is, and I think they're still in pretty decent standing, still 14-8, though they are now behind both the Dodgers and the Padres and barely ahead of the Diamondbacks, which shows you how solid that division is. Looks like I'm going to have to screw with my camera here. Give me a second. I can screw with my camera. And I can talk into a mic.
I was going to say, you looked, your ventriloquist skills were on point, man. Yeah, so, this team is not as exciting and fun to watch as they were in the first couple of weeks. But hey, I mean, 162 games. You're going to have a blown save here and there. As long as we're not up in the range of, what were we a few years ago? We were at like 10 blown saves, 12 blown saves.
When you're Ryan Walker has been good.
He's been great.
If this becomes a problem, then, that's something that we won't be able to necessarily forecast. But he's been good, and he had a bad outing, and he admitted that the slider wasn't there, the stuff wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they kind of got I don't know if they got screwed on the Trout walk, but it was questionable. And
it was questionable. And how much does that change when he was getting smacked around after that? I mean, but when you're watching it too, he had guys 1-2. He had them at 1-2. Adele, he had it 1-2. Batter before that, Nato, he had it 1-2 before he took two of his ribs out. I mean, that was an insane pitch. I don't think I've seen an HPP like that before, where it's like, it's Cupid's arrow. It's going right for that guy's heart. It was pretty crazy.
So what we're going to do here is, like Brad said, this is 22 games into the season. I think I had it at like almost 14% of the season. Yeah, so not very much, but still, like a semi-decent sample size. If you were to go by like monthly stuff or whatever, like it's a nice little chunk. It gives us some information and some data to analyze the team. And we're basically just going to look at some of the numbers and see if Brad has a feel for what the real numbers are based on what he's watched. Some of them were surprising to me. Some of them were not very surprising to me as we look through them. But I guess, to kind of just look at the week that was, as we were talking last week. So they were playing Philadelphia last week when we were recording. And they split in Philly. They blew the Phillies out in two of the games. And then they lost two close games. They lost their wins in that series were 10-4 and 11-4. Their losses were both 6-4 games. And then all of a sudden, after, putting up 30 runs in that four gamer against the Phillies, you think, okay, good offense. The offense is coming alive. Against the Angels in three games, they score seven runs and they lose 2-0 when Logan Webb throws probably his best game of the season.
Yeah.
And then they win 3-2. JJ was there, so I think he needed to be there Sunday. That's why they lost.
Yeah, I'm a little upset about that. We'll talk to him about that.
And then yesterday they have a 4-1 lead. Was it 4-1 or 4-2?
It was 4-1.
4-1 lead going into the ninth, and they give up four runs to lose the game in the ninth inning. And so where they are now, they're home, they're back home, and they have the Brewers and they have the Rangers this week. And the Brewers are, they're still a little bit over 500. They're doing okay. Their last 10 is very similar to the Giants' last 10. They're both 5-5. And then the Rangers come to town, and the Rangers are currently 13-9. So these are two teams that I'd say fare comparably to the Giants. So these should be some competitive series, and it'll give us even more information about if this Giants team is good or not. So let's start with this. Let's start with the offense, because when I look at the team, or when I just overall look at the team, the one thing that stands out is just the inconsistency of the offense. Like I said, that Philly series, 11-4, 10-4, and then they lose 2 6-4 games. Four runs usually for the Giants is generally good if the starting pitching is good.
Yeah,
the Angels, they pitched well enough to win every single game in the series, and it was really the offense that failed them, except in that ninth inning where the Walker didn't have his stuff. Okay, these statistics are National League only. I didn't want to look at American League quite yet and combine them. But the National League, where do you think the Giants fit in the National League when it comes to home runs?
Home runs. Now, okay, so I didn't cheat because I didn't look at any numbers today. Usually, once a week, I use our show as a jumping off point where it's like, okay, today I'm going to look at numbers. I'm going to go to FanGraphs. I'm going to look to see where we're at, and I'm going to write down those numbers. Today, I didn't do that. Home runs in the National League, you're talking, what, 15 teams, right? We got 15 teams. I'd say the Giants are sixth. They're upper, just above the middle.
They are tied for fifth. So you're right on the money there.
There we go.
They have 25 home runs. The nice. Dodgers, of course, lead the National League with 36. The Cubs have 34. Diamondbacks, 30. It's so funny because, you know, with the Padres being as hot as they are, they're not actually scoring as many runs, though their offense, they just put the bat on the ball a little bit more than the Giants do.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a good start. Giants are.
Can we end it there? So I win. I like to do good on tests.
The Giants are hitting, for decent power so far early this season. Now, a kind of a staple of the Farhan Zaidi offense with the Giants was to, not give away at bats and not chase and, make the pitchers work. Where do you think they are in overall walks for the offense?
That I don't think as good, because Lamont Wade Jr. is not walking. Chapman's walking. Even when he's not hitting, he's getting on base. It just doesn't feel like the Giants have as many base runners as they should have with their, with their philosophy and how they like to do things. I'm going to say 10th.
The Giants are very similarly in right in the top five. They're actually tied with the Reds for fourth, which kind of surprised me as well.
Yeah, that surprises me.
So
we're just not driving in the runs unless we have two outs. That's
the Phillies. What's going on. The Phillies have 100 walks. Cubs 97. Diamondbacks 96. The Dodgers are right behind the Giants, and then the Padres a couple behind the Dodgers. Hmm. So now we come to strikeouts.
Hmm.
And the strikeout situation was not great last year. And, you know, the first series, like when we were watching that series, we're like, man, you know, these guys are swinging through pitches, but then they're getting big hits and they're kind of shielding themselves from, you know, striking out so much. But now that we're 22 games in, where do you think they sit on the strikeout meter?
It feels like 14th.
So you're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. Not the worst, but right there.
Pretty close, because the two teams that strike out the most are the Rockies and the Pirates, who are not good necessarily. The Rockies are 4-17 and the Pirates are 8-15. And then the Marlins, who are a little bit better, they're 9-12. And then the Giants are right there behind the Marlins, tied with the Marlins, actually. The Dodgers are right in the middle of the pack. The Padres struck out the least amount of times in the National League by quite a bit. So they're putting ball in play. That's how they're doing it.
Yeah, they're winning ball games. Every time I watch any of their games, I'll throw a game on. Because you and I, we have the MLB.TV, so we'll watch other than Giants games when the Giants aren't playing. If the Padres are playing, I'll throw the game on just to kind of see. Man, they'll go single, double, driving a couple runs. they'll get a triple, and then they'll get a walk and, sacrifice, and then another hit, driving a couple more runs. But, yeah, like you said, they're not getting the home runs, but those guys are putting the ball in play and getting on base. And they're a dangerous team. I kind of feel, you know, going into this Milwaukee series, where is Milwaukee when it comes to walk percentage? Because I feel like they're on quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they are opportunistic base runners. They're going to steal a lot of bases. So that's going to be a little bit scary about this is
the next stat we're looking at.
Okay.
Stolen bases, which is near and dear to your heart.
I love it.
You've been wanting the Giants to attempt more steals. You want to see more guys. As we've said, though, when you strike out so much, the opportunity in being on base lessens. So where do you think they are in stolen bases right now?
Well, I know they were near the top after the first 7 or 8 games. Since then, they dramatically dropped off. I'm going to say probably around 10th in stolen bases.
They're right at 10.
Okay.
Now, the good thing
feels that way.
The good thing about their numbers, they've only been thrown out 3 times. So that's a very good percentage. For instance, the Reds also have 18 and they are 10th as well, but they've been thrown out 8 times. Washington Nationals have 7 more than us, but they've also been thrown out 8 times. So the Giants are sitting nicely. The Brewers, like you were mentioning, 33 stolen bases as a team. A lot of that came in that one game. They stole 9 bags or something like that.
Yeah, they had 16 over the last week. From this past Monday to this Monday, they've had 16 stolen bases. They got half of their stolen bases basically in the last week.
So the Giants are not giving up outs by getting thrown out stealing. Now, what do you think? Where do you think the Giants sit in overall team batting average?
Not good, because they don't get hits unless there are 2 outs. So dead last. I'm going to say 15th.
If not for the Pirates and the Rockies, the two teams that we've been talking about, they would be dead last. They are 13th in the National League, hitting a robust .224. Though, interestingly enough, the Dodgers are right above them at .227. Now,
yeah, because they're a home run or nothing team. I mean, that's kind of who they are right now.
Now you go right back now up to the Padres. The Padres lead the National League in team batting average at .276.
Wow.
The Brewers are kind of right smack dab in the middle. Now, we know that batting average isn't the end-all be-all. So let's look at on-base percentage. Where do you think the Giants sit in on-base percentage? I mean, we kind of gave it away because we talked about the walks.
Yeah, I'd say on-base percentage, we're probably looking at, Again, sixth, fifth, somewhere in there.
On base for him, the Giants are third from the bottom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They are at 305 on base.
I thought the walks would bump them up a little bit, but
yeah. But there's a cluster of teams: Giants, Nationals, Mets, Braves, Dodgers. They're all in kind of the lower 300s. But again, the Padres are showing, you put the ball in play, things happen. They're on base percentage is 347, leading all of the National League, and the Diamondbacks right behind them at 340. All right, so now this number still matters. This number really matters is the overall slugging. It can offset some lower batting averages and some low on base percentages. Where do you think the Giants sit in slugging?
In slugging, let's go third.
They are right in the middle. They are eighth, with the Reds are seventh. The Marlins are ninth. They kind of sandwich the Giants. Interestingly, the Cubs lead all of the National League in slugging at 447 clip. Jeez. The Dodgers are fourth. The Padres are third. And then, you combine those, you get OPS. The Giants sit 10th.
I figured we would be up higher because we're what, fifth, you said, tied for fifth in the home runs. And then Jung-Hoo Lee leads the league right now in doubles with 10.
Yes. Jung-Hoo Lee is a slugging percentage monster for the Giants right now.
He is. And that's why I thought, him and Chapman's got some home runs. Flores had some home runs early. He's kind of just dropped off. Is Flores tired already?
Yeah.
Is he getting tired already?
He's playing too much, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so now we slide over to the pitching numbers. And the eye test would say that the pitching has been pretty solid, but I wanted to see for myself. Where do you think the Giants sit in overall team ERA?
Team ERA. We're talking starters and relievers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go team ERA. I'm going to go seventh.
They're actually better than that.
No.
The Mets are the Mets have like five Sandy Koufaxes going for them right now.
Yeah,
their team ERA is 2.28. Padres, 2.91. Reds 347, Giants 353, Dodgers 355. So the Giants are in good standing there. If we look at team walks, do the Giants walk a lot of their opponents' batters?
I feel like the last two games, yes, but overall, Robbie Ray does quite a bit. Let me think. This is a tough one. Walks. We're going best to worst, right?
Yeah.
Number one is best. I say fifth.
They're right in the middle. They're at eight. They're not walking a ton, but they could walk less. The Diamondbacks have only walked 64 batters, but the Giants have walked 77.
Mm.
Now strikeouts can help and do help and are very valuable from a pitching staff. Where do you think the Giants sit on team strikeouts?
I think they're in the middle on that one, too. This is not, I don't feel like this is a pitching staff that strikes a ton of people out or walks a ton of people.
Interestingly, I think this may be like the Landon Roop and Hayden Byrne song and, Robbie Ray to an extent as well. Maybe a little bit of Logie, but they're fourth in the National League. And it's weird because the top three teams are all tied at the top, which are the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Phillies. And then the Diamondbacks and the Giants are behind them. But it's 222, and then the Giants and the Diamondbacks have 199. So the pitching is really holding up when it comes to opponents' batting average against. The Giants are fifth. So the pitching overall has held up. You know, there's been some issues with Hicks and Verlander in some starts, and Birdsong was, you know, probably thrown a little bit more than we wanted to throw him, but he's just been so good, and he gave up some hits, some pretty big hits in the Phillies series. So it gives you an idea that, and I don't know where this comes from, but the Giants need to, I don't know if you trade for a bat, if you just hope that, you know, somebody gets hot. But now,
well, Encarnacion, when he comes back, is he going to help?
But now let's look at the individual numbers for these guys. And, you know, Wilmer started out so hot. And then I looked at some of his overall numbers, and it was like, oh, he's only hitting 203.
Yeah.
Oh, he's only getting on base at a 25% clip.
Yeah, his OPS right now is like 600, right?
It's like 680. And so, you know, the home runs are there, but he has all home runs or singles.
Yeah.
Six home runs, 10 singles. So that those six home runs are very helpful because he's got 23 RBIs to lead the team, which is great. But it's really been all or nothing with Wilmer. And I was kind of like, before the season started, I was like, you know what? It feels like an all-starry type of a season for Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
His batting average is not fantastic. You know, he's probably going to be a 250, 260 hitter. But he's walking. He leads the team in walks. He's got 21 walks. The next highest guy is Yaz at 12. So he's walking at a big clip. He also strikes out. We know that. We know he's going to do that. But he's got a 406 on base and a 440 slugging. So I think he's third on the team in OPS. Yeah, he's third. Who do you think, Jung-Hoo Lee, we already mentioned. Who do you think is second on the team in OPS?
Man. Second on the team in OPS. Chapman, right?
Well, Chapman's third.
Oh, Chapman's third. Okay, so you got Jung-Hoo Lee, blank, Chapman.
Yes.
I'm going to go Ramos because of his hot start.
Baby Yaz.
Baby Yaz. Oh, we always leave him out.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yastrzemski has three home runs and six doubles. In his 19 hits, and he's walked the second most number of times behind Chapman. So he's got a 930 OPS. Obviously, he's got less at bats because he's not playing every single day, but it just kind of gives you a glimpse of who's doing the damage for the team currently. Like Jung-Hoo Lee is having a fantastic start to his season.
Yeah.
He's got 10 doubles. And a triple and three home runs. So he leads the team in slugging by a pretty big clip. Yaz is second, though. And then our guy Fitzy is third behind him, behind them at a 492 slugging. So, you know, the offense, and it's just kind of like, well, you know, you signed Willy Adames hoping that he would solidify. Now, defensively, he's made some errors, but I still feel like defensively he's solid. His bat has not come around yet, though. He's hitting 202, slugging 281. So that you're hoping that, oh, you know, it's a little bit of a slow start. He's going to come around. Your guy Ramos, excuse me, hitting 231, 407 slugging, and his OPS is just under 7. But then you have someone like Lamont Wade, who's, you know, he's got 55 ABs. It's not a small number. He's hitting under 100 for the season so far. And like you said, he's not really walking. Like, why would he? He can't hit. So why would you even, you know, what? Just go at him. Patrick Bailey looking more like last year's second half. Patrick Bailey, 161.
Yeah.
Not getting on base almost at all. But then, you know, Fitzy's playing okay. Casey Schmidt, who's hurt now, he's got an oblique issue. He looks like he's going to be out for a month. hitting 174. Matos hitting 167. So the offense, I feel, and this is kind of what we thought going into the season. If something holds them back, it would be the offense. And that's definitely what it looks like. They just need another bat somewhere that they can depend on and just plug in and, you know, be better than average, I guess.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I mean, we touched on it talking about all those numbers. You got to have guys on base. I think this week Ramos hit 300 during the week from Monday to Monday. We call that a week because we do our show every Monday. So Ramos hit 300, been on base quite a bit, scored 7 runs, didn't drive in a single run all week. Because there's nobody on base in front of him. If Jung-Hoo Lee gets on, it's a different situation than Ramos gets out. Chapman as well. So it's kind of that just things aren't meshing right now. But if you had other guys who could just get on base, Matos, we thought, you know, with the offseason he had and how he kind of finished up in AAA last year, we thought, oh, man, he's going to be a nice plug-in bat. Guy who is going to get on base, maybe steal some bases for you, just be kind of an on base guy. That hasn't panned out yet either. and Encarnacion. I think Encarnacion is missed. I really do. I mean, Flores had a hot start, but we knew he couldn't maintain that. So having that, you know, right-handed crushing bat of Encarnacion up there, again, the guy's going to strike out. You know, that's kind of what he does. He strikes out, but he also hits the ball like 110 off the bat. So, yeah, where do you go? I mean, do we, if you're looking at numbers from the minors, I've bookmarked a bunch of guys. So Bryce Eldridge hasn't even had an at bat in the minors yet this year.
Yeah, he's still dealing with the wrist thing, right?
Yeah, he is. And Luciano has actually been hot the last week or so, I think. When you take a look at his numbers, 2 days ago, he was 2-for-4, and he was 3-for-5, then an 0-for-3, then a 1-for-5, 1-for-2, 1-for-4, 2-for-4. He does have... He's gotten his average. At one point, he was hitting like 150, 140, something like that. Now he's hitting 231. He's got 3 home runs, 14 ribs. So there's a guy you can plug in. But again, is he ready for the outfield? Do you call him up at this point and say, okay, we're going to plug in the outfield. We're going to send Matos down. He's not going to get enough at bats to warrant a call up at this point. So I think you got to let him marinate a little bit longer. Trying to think who else there is. I mean, a lot of the other guys are, you know, again, we were hoping to be talking about Eldridge at this point of the season. But the only thing we're talking about him is, you know, when is he going to get to double A and get some at bats?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, I don't know if we should be concerned yet.
Yeah.
But mum has kind of been the word. I haven't really read anything yet.
Yeah, I think Pavlovich said last week he was really close is what they told him. But he didn't get any at-bats, so he said it's got to be this week then, right? Because if he was close last week, then it's got to be this week he's going to start getting some at-bats in double-A. But again, how long is it going to take him to get going? When's he going to get to AAA? All of that stuff. God, Nick Kurtz from the A's, first baseman, has played all of 32 games in the minors since getting drafted last year, and he just got the call up. So he's going to be in the A's lineup on Wednesday. I mean, you got guys like that who are just blasting through the minor leagues.
Do you know who leads all of baseball in home runs?
Soderstrom, right?
Soderstrom and Cal Raleigh.
The big dumper. The big dumper leads. I mean, you know, you put some ass in that swing and the big dumper's hitting shots, man.
So the other thing I wanted to look at a little bit more closely, Justin Verlander's had 5 starts. He's been suspect, though he did have his best outing yesterday. Should have got the win, didn't get the win. And then I was looking at Jordan Hicks, and I know some folks are ready to end the Hicks experiment after his last outing.
You know, I'm guilty. I was one of those, but
you know,
it's always good to have a bevy of arms. I'm fine with it.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, we watch Hicks. He's got that like power sinker.
Yeah.
And you would think that I guess when he throws the sinker, it's more to get bad contact than anything. But he's still got the really good fastball. So you get a 2-strike count and you can come up and in with the fastball. It's not really striking many guys out. Logan Webb and Landon Roop are striking people out at a really good clip. So that is good. You know, Landon Roop at 2-1 with 4.09 ERA. If that's your fifth guy, because he strikes out guys, he's going to give you a chance to win on in that fifth spot. It's the other guys. It's Hicks, it's Verlander, and it's Robbie Ray. And Robbie Ray has been up and down, but I think he's been pretty good. He just throwing so many dang pitches and not getting deep into games.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure the Giants can have Verlander and Hicks both being bad. Somebody's going to have to turn it around. And I look at my guy, the Bird Dog, Hayden Birdsong. He looks ready to just get in there. Like he's chomping at the bit to get in there. So I don't know if it's going to be, well, You know, maybe Verlander misses a couple of starts, but this dude is throwing 97 into the seventh inning yesterday.
You can't, but that's the thing. You know, I was reading Grant's article about this. I think he wrote it yesterday about starters and having a good problem. And he brings up a good point because the Giants put a lot of money into Verlander, Robbie Ray. To have the veteran presence and whatever it is that they do, they're going to give you good starts. They're going to give you, you know, looks of, wow, this is why we signed him. Look at Verlander yesterday in Sunday's game against the Angels. That, I mean, if we get that Verlander 60, 70% of the time, you take that. That's fantastic. That's going to help you win a lot of ball games. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hicks. He still has explosive stuff. He can still strike guys out when he's not, you know, when he's not heated. I know your son JJ was like, man, he's too hot-headed. Get him out of there. we talked about this, I think, last show or the show before. I like that. I want to see some,
yeah,
especially from Camilo. Maybe Hicks can get together with Camilo Tranquilo, yeah, and say, look, dude, this is how you do it.
I wish we could combine those guys together with their crazy stuff and
yeah,
you know. But okay,
Verlander was dotting though yesterday, which is good because his when you looked at his Baseball Savant page, I guess his location stuff was just bad. It was bad early in the season. But if he's starting to find location and starting to be able to pinpoint, and it's Verlander, so I trust that he can, then I think we're in good shape. I want all that depth.
Bullpen has been great. Mm-hmm. The only bullpen member so far who has an ERA over 3.5 is Walker, and it's all because of yesterday.
Yeah.
So Tyler Rogers, 0.79 ERA. He's got 11 and a third innings pitch. He's only given up 6 hits and 1 run. That 1 run was a jack. Birdsong has been awesome. Randy Rodriguez, 10 games, 9 innings, has yet to give up a run. 13 strikeouts. Lou Trevino, sweet Lou. he's doing great himself. You know, he's only given up 3 runs in 8 appearances. Doval, you know, he just walks a few too many, but he's okay. His ERA is down because of some unearned runs, but I just don't think we don't trust him to pitch the money innings right now. He's got to get back to, you know, just striking people out and easily and just being like, come on, man. Like, you can't touch this. He's not there yet. Bivens, great. Kind of, he seems like he's more of a long man, but he's not throwing too many innings. He only have 6 appearances in 7 and two-thirds innings. And then Eric Miller, the lone lefty in the bullpen, he's escaped some jams because he also walks guys, but he's only given up 1 run all season. So the bullpen doing their job, if we can get a little bit more consistency out of the starting pitching, we might be talking about, you know, a starting pitching, a staff that just carries this sort of lower than mid offense.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and we knew that. And it's got to be that. It's got to be defense. And the Giants have been playing great defense. And it's got to be stealing bases and timely base running. And that's what this team is. They're going to explode for 11 runs. Things are going to happen. But like you said earlier, if this team can score 4 runs, most of the time they should be winning ball games. Yesterday, a 4-1 lead in the ninth. You should win that ball game. That's normally, I'd say, 99 or 98 out of 100 times. That's a win. I mean, well, should I say 95 out of 100? Because their win probability was 95.7% going into the ninth, bottom of the ninth inning. But in a situation like tonight, again, we're recording this on a Monday. Tonight is the first game of the Brewers series. In a situation like tonight, so Walker and Doval went yesterday. Walker went Saturday. Randy Rodriguez hasn't pitched since Friday. Eric Miller hasn't pitched since Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to a closing situation tonight, I think you're either going to see Randy Rodriguez or Eric Miller. I don't think, or even Tyler Rogers. I don't think you're going to see Doval. Doval would be going two games in a row, but it's also Doval. Do we trust him in that situation yet? Like you said, I don't think we do. And he comes in
and the fan base collectively groans right now. That's kind of where he is on the faith scale.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen him in 8-4 ball games where they're up 8-4. We've seen him yesterday when they're up 4-1. Still, again, getting guys on bases and then getting the ground ball for the double play. That's not ideal. That's very Brian Wilson. I mean, that makes you pucker when you see that type of stuff. Walk, single, ground ball, double play, strikeout. It's not an easy inning. So I think, again, tonight you may get in a situation where you see Randy Rodriguez or you see Eric Miller and everybody's going to freak out and say, wow, look at that. They already got rid of Randy Walker, but he's pitched two games in a row. So you're not going to see him tonight, no matter what.
That'll be a fun one when he doesn't come in the game. It's a, 2-1 game in the ninth. And they're like, oh, what does this mean? Is he not closer anymore?
Randy Walker blew a save and now he's out as closer. Yeah. He's worked two games in a row. So that's pretty much going to be it for him. He can pitch again tomorrow on Tuesday, but it's going to be a grind. It's going to be a very grindy season. And we said that at the beginning and management said that all off season, but then you look at it. And of course the Giants were one of like six teams to have scored over 100 runs this season already. So, we're kind of expecting that, but it's a back and forth offense. You can score 11 runs and you can score four, then you can score none. So the pitching, it's got to be on point, and that's a lot of pressure to put on a pitching staff as well. And we'll see. But again, when you've got guys like, you've got guys like Wisenhunt, you've got guys like Harrison and Birdsong, and we forget about Jelly too, because Jelly can come up and play that mid role as well. So if you did want to plug in, something happened and you wanted to plug in Birdsong for one of the starting pitchers, you can bring up Jelly and you can have Jelly be your middle reliever, and he's still that guy.
All right. Let's get to our player of the week.
So player of the week this week, we've been doing this, 3 weeks now this season. I still haven't gotten to the point where I can pick a pitcher, and I want to. I keep looking each week because I'm like, hey, maybe now is the time we can get a pitcher. Didn't quite get there. Webb did well, but again, it was a one start week, so I couldn't really give it to him. So you got to go with the guy who's off the schneid, starting to show his guts again, starting to show who he is and why we liked him so much last year. And why JJ is in love with the dude. So we're giving it to Tyler Fitzgerald. He is our player of the week. Hit .444 this week. .259 WRC plus. Played in 6 of the 7 games. Home run, 4 ribs, 2 stolen bases. K percentage was only 15% this week, which is a really nice number to see for him, because that means he's putting the ball in play, using his legs. And he had an F war of 0.5 on the week. So that's nice. That'll add to his collective for the season, kind of get him in the positive.
So we know that Fitzy, like we like to call him, is a streaky hitter. We saw it last year. He went on like a barrage of home runs and then almost didn't hit another one like the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And I like to see him when he's successful, because he's running around the bases and he's a crazy fast base runner, and he's running through Matt Williams' stop sign, and he better be safe or else Matt may pick him up at the dugout.
Marine him to death.
Yeah. And so when he's going good, he's good. And if you can get that production so low in the order, it's such a positive for their offense. But if you have to expect him to do that, it's not fantastic, because he's just not going to be consistent. I like the streaks. I want to see more of them, but also at the same time, raising the consistency level for him is kind of the thing.
Yeah.
David Villar is back. We talked about that a little bit with Casey Schmidt going down. They actually had to put him back on the 40-man. He was on the 40-man for several years, and then they cut him. Now he's back on the 40-man. They put Encarnacion, they extended his DL stint. So when he does come back, then he's got to take up one of those spots. So Villar has, you know, a month to prove his worth. And I think it would take sort of a Herculean effort for him to stay on that 40-man. But we'll see. He's been streaky as well, and he can actually play first base, which they trust him at, it looks like. So that'll be interesting to see how they play that. Schmidt sucks to see him going down, but he's such a average at best hitter when it comes to putting the ball in play. It's tough. You root for him because you're like, man, the guy is so good at all these other things, but throw him a slider out of the zone, he's like, oh, my favorite pitch. And
his value big time is in defense. And you and I were talking about that earlier today before we did the show, that you have options now. So you got VR back on the 40-man. So when Schmidt comes back, Schmidt's probably going to be back before Encarnacion. So when he comes back, you could do a little rehab assignment for Schmidt. You can then option Schmidt because he has options. So you could do that. You can go that route and keep VR up if VR is hitting. But VR is virtually a DH and a first baseman, and they have that in Flores. But with Casey Schmidt, you get a DH, you get a first baseman, you get a second baseman. You could play him at short. You could play him at third. You could do a lot of different things with him. And I think that's where his value lies, even though his bat is extremely painful. But like you said, I mean, if VR is giving a Herculean effort and he's, you know, crushing the baseball and he's a on base machine and an OPS machine, then Giants fans would revolt if you sent a guy like that down to bring Casey Schmidt back into the fold to hit 200 for the rest of the year. So, yeah.
So I just wanted to quickly update folks on this week on the network. I think Rod and I are going to be back probably tomorrow night, Tuesday night, to talk 49ers draft.
Draft coming up, yeah, this week.
There's some crazy drama going on in 49ers land right now.
I haven't followed it because of being a Rams fan. Everything's happy and nice in Ramland right now.
You know, the worst thing that could have happened to the Niners is that the Rams went to the playoffs and had like a fantastic season this year. Cause they're like, see, they did it. Now we can cut all of our guys and build up your young players. I'm like, yeah, you guys haven't had a great draft.
The Rams drafting has been fantastic from like the third to the sixth round. They've done a really, really good job over the years doing that. And it shocked me too, because the Rams for a while there, I thought that they were giving away draft picks because they weren't good at drafting, but it turns out actually pretty darn good. So that's been kind of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's hockey playoff.
I was seeing a lot of Golden Knights gear this last weekend.
Last night when you were in Vegas still for WrestleMania. WrestleMania was last night. Golden Knights game one against Minnesota was last night at the Fortress. So I mean, that place was probably hopping.
So Thursday, Brian and I will be back talking Warriors. Warriors won game one against Houston. They play again Wednesday. So that will be, and then I think post draft sometime on the weekend, Rod and I will kind of review what the Niners did. So probably three more shows at some point this weekend in the feed, but I had to do it. It's old guy alley time. Vegas, man.
I was going to say, I can tell you exactly what this is going to be about. I'm hearing your voice. I could tell it was a long weekend.
It was about a day and a half too long. Because I'm a t- I'm a 1.5 to 2.5 day kind of Vegas guy, and then I'm ready to go home and I'm good. I was there for 1.5 days, too long. I started, so we got there Thursday, and you know, it's like, oh, first day in Vegas, you're always like, you're gonna slightly overdo it just because you haven't been to Vegas in a while.
Have some fun, yeah.
And so had a few drinks, and then found Friday morning like, huh, this is not kind of normal. Like, why do I feel a little bit down? You know, a little bit run.
Well, and you're at higher altitude as well. That's a high Vegas. People forget Vegas is a high altitude and it's dry. So yeah, all of that stuff combined. Yeah.
So then Friday, you know, I also was working. I did three different shows in Vegas as well. So it's kind of like you're kind of running around and trying to get from place to place. And then I helped at another show. So it wasn't like I was just kind of, you know, that we're just part, like I was doing stuff.
Oh yeah.
So then by Saturday evening, I was like, am I coming down with a cold? Like what's going on? No. And so all day Sunday, I was like, you know how you do that thing where you're like, okay, I'm going to force myself to not believe that I'm sick, power of the mind here. But by Sunday night, I was like, I think I caught a cold. And just right, that's what I'm dealing with right now, which is the slight cold. Though I'm a pretty good bounce back person when it comes to having a cold, so I don't expect to have this cold for very long.
I'm not at all. I'm the exact opposite. You give me a cold and everybody's 7 to 10 days, 5 to 7 days, I'm gonna hit the 14 days. It is what it is, man.
So I thought about taking the day off from work tomorrow, but I was like, you know what? After being gone Thursday, Friday, Monday, I'll kind of force. You know, I get to work from home, so you know, I can deal with it. So the other thing, you know, it was, you know, I just felt washed. I felt like I was a washed human being this weekend. Like Vegas was like, hey, welcome to Vegas. I expect a lot from you. I expect your A game, and I gave him like a C+ game, is what happened.
Now, where you were, and you went and did your shows and all that stuff, were there crowds? Because I saw people like trying to run up the down escalators and all kinds of like getting out of WrestleMania. It was insane. Like, I've been to Vegas. I mean, it's a 7-hour drive for us, less than 7 hours. We go to Vegas like once a year. We stay for a week. We walk around the strip. We do fun stuff. And there's always a lot of people whenever we go. I can't imagine. And we've gone during, you know, Golden Knights games too. A lot of people. There's lots of crowds. You can get Ubers. You can get shuttles. You could do all that stuff. But when I'm looking at the crowd and I'm thinking WrestleMania, hockey playoffs,
yeah,
it looked insane, like shoulder to shoulder.
So I've been to Vegas when Vegas is super busy. This weekend was interesting because the reason why WrestleMania was in Vegas this weekend is because it was Easter weekend, which is not a heavy traffic weekend for Vegas. So they actually paid WWE to come into the city and bring the traffic. Yeah. So I would say it was a like kind of middle traffic-y. There's been times like during Memorial Day weekend where you have Knights playoffs plus just being Memorial Day and it's just packed. That wasn't this, but you know, I think the wrestling fans showed out and packed it decently enough, but I'm sure it was this like weird sort of being run down, not getting a lot of sleep, and then still doing stuff and being in a crowd, you know, being with different crowds and such. Is, I'm sure I caught it. I just want to make sure that it didn't spread it. So I kind of went home early on Sunday and didn't do all the stuff that we were supposed to do. But I will say I've come to the realization, and I think I may have mentioned this, but I really, really, really put dotted the I with this one. I think I'm a Manhattan guy over an old-fashioned guy.
There you go. Yeah, I go back and forth. We went to a bar here in Reno on Saturday night. And since we're in Old Guy Alley, I can tell you, I overdid it.
You threw on the Giants game right before Mike Trout went deep.
Yeah, we were at a brewery, and right next door is this place called Rum Sugar Lime in Reno, and they make rum drinks. That's like what they do. And I don't drink rum. I haven't had rum in years. So I had a beer at the brewery, and we go next door, and I go, okay, I'm going to try. I asked the guy, I said, do you like your Manhattans or your old fashions better? Because it said at the bottom of the menu, even though everything was rum drinks, at the bottom it says, we also make other stuff. That's my answer. I said, I see your bourbons up there. So he goes, I've probably made thousands of old fashioned. So I said, I'll take one of those. So I had one of those. Then I had this rum drink that was like toasted coconut.
Oh, wow.
And sweet vermouth in it. And it was so good, I accidentally ordered another one.
Oh, yeah.
And then, by the end of the night, I was like, whew. So, yeah, I was in Old Guy Alley Saturday night.
Well. I don't know. Like, if you measure the ingredients in an old fashioned and a Manhattan, yeah. The old fashioned is sweeter. So I don't know if it means there's like more sugar in it or whatever. But the Manhattan,
it has a whole sugar cube. If you do it right, it has an entire sugar cube in it. So.
The Manhattan feels more bourbony to me, which is the taste that I am looking for. You know, I like the flavor of bourbon, so that's what I was like, you know what? I'm kind of going back and forth. If push comes to shove and they make a Manhattan and it's halfway decent, I'm getting it. Though I went to a barbecue spot, a Virgil's in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
They had a fantastic Manhattan, and then I immediately went to the Brooklyn Bowl because they were hosting an event where the rapper Wale was there. Nice. And I had another old fashioned, and I was like, this is not quite Virgil's.
you can do a bad old fashioned. It's really hard to do a bad Manhattan, because Manhattan, there's two ingredients, and you're just stirring it right. You're not shaking it. You're stirring it right, straining it, throwing a cherry in it. And it's really easy, and it's very, you know, simple drink to make.
Yeah.
The old fashioned is the sugar. If you get the citrus wrong, you use the wrong bitters. And the other nice thing with the Manhattan too is it's rye. So you get that rye whiskey. So you get the real, and the sweetness of the vermouth, I always feel like pulls out that rye a little bit more. So that's, like you said, it's more bourbony.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have all this stuff to make Manhattans, and on occasion I'll bust it out and I'll make a Manhattan in the evening. It's really easy to do.
Yeah, we even bought the plastic Manhattan, like triangular shaped, like glasses.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm going to do too, because what I have done is there's a brand, I think it's a Basil Hayden brand, at least they use Basil Hayden bourbon. It's called like Off the Rocks or something like that. That's the brand of mixed cocktail. So it's like, oh, Manhattan, and it's fine. Like, it's totally doable, but it is not that hard to make. So
no, you just put the ingredients in a tall glass, put some ice in it, stir it around for like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Pour it in and drop in a cherry and you're good to go. So,
I made that declaration. And now whenever I go to restaurants, if I am going to get a drink, it's going to be more than likely a Manhattan.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we are done here. Like I mentioned, we'll have more shows in this feed. If you haven't checked out, now this is a WNBA thing. Still, it's kind of the hottest growing league in sports right now. Thank you, Caitlin Clark. Thank you, Angel Reese. But also women's sports. We support women's sports. And Brian and I had Sabrina Merchant on last week, who is one of the Athletics WNBA writers. She had been on with us previously. She came back on, and I was like, oh, we didn't run her off. She must have been okay with us. Like, that's a positive thing. And I think she kind of like verifies us in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Even though I'm just trying to learn from her is what I'm trying to do, because she's so knowledgeable. And, you know, Brian does his homework. Brian does a lot of homework, and he's just...
Yeah, you guys do a great job with the WNBA. And I think this season, now that the Bay Area has a team, I think I'll finally start watching and getting into it a little bit more. So, yeah.
Yeah, I might have to send you, like, I'm going to start getting some gear. If I see some nice gear, maybe I'll shoot you one over. And like I said, the We Want Winners will be back. And I got to see Rod, because Rod lives in Las Vegas. So I saw him yesterday, and we got to hang out. We chit-chatted for like 45 minutes. So shout out to Rod. So he'll be back a couple of times this week. And yeah, I'm having so much fun with this network. And I told the story multiple times this weekend about how I was like, it's the pandemic. You haven't been on a mic in a while. I need to get you on this mic. We need to do this show. We don't have anything else going on in our lives except for sitting on our asses and watching TV and drinking with our wives. Like, we need to do something.
That was it.
So, you know, you helped me kickstart this. So I appreciate you. And now, you know, we're doing some pretty good stuff. We need to drive those YouTube subscribers up. If you can go to the BSPN channel on YouTube and subscribe. We're slowly but surely going up in subscribers. We need to hit that magic 500 mark. But yeah, so I'm having a blast. Now we're doing WNBA and Niners and Warriors. And of course, this podcast that started it all, Thompson to Clark on the Giants. And the Giants are playing good baseball. So that's all that matters to us. Just play good baseball and be entertaining. Yeah.
We've talked a lot during the 500 clubs, and you know, you do a season when the team is playing 500 and it's okay. You do a season like we did in 2021 and it was fun, but you're still trying to figure out, how did all of that happen? I mean, it was still like 107 wins. Like, how did that all happen? And then so this season, it's fun to digest and just kind of go through the numbers. And we like it. You know, we always pitch this show as a couple guys just having some drinks and fans of the game, and been fans of the Giants for years and years and years, and fans of baseball and worked in baseball and everything else. So, if you've joined us just to kind of shoot the bull and listen to us have some fun talking about your favorite team, the Giants, then thanks for joining us.
When are we getting Portnoy on, by the way?
Soon. I'd like to talk to him soon, because he has a break right now before things kind of kick back up with New Mexico football. I'm not sure if he's doing baseball, but I think this is kind of his break time. So we should get him on hopefully in the next month or so before we go to San Francisco. Which is coming up in June, so maybe sometime in May we can
that'll be great
here. So yeah,
Robert Portnoy did some radio stuff with us at San Jose State back in the day, and then he did minor league baseball. He was kind of like, you know, there's only so many play-by-play jobs in the bigs. He was probably about as close as you could get without getting one of those jobs, man.
Yeah, he was knocking on the door. He was AAA with the Dodgers and you know, stuck behind some guy named Vin Scully.
And then I know he was the Brewers AAA team, which had like Prince Fielder and I think Ryan Braun. They were all coming through at the same time. He got to do those games. Yeah, we'll get if we get a chance to talk to him, we'll have him tell all those stories, because he's got some good
absolutely
ones. Yeah. All right, we're done from here. Brad and I got it done. I was kind of wondering, I was like,
if you were gonna make it. I didn't know you were sick, man. I would have cut
well no like you were completely giving me the option to go on Tuesday, but I was like, you know what, this will help me get better, because it my body's like, oh, I have to like do stuff. I can't just get sicker. Like, I have to perform. So,
well, now you could go to bed early. You can get some rest. You can just sit, lay in bed and watch some shows.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Yes, absolutely. All right. You know what movie I got to watch is The Departed. I started The Departed again.
Oh, today. You haven't seen that?
No, I've seen it, but.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm subscribed to Shea Serrano's Substack, and he basically gives you a movie to watch. That's and then he writes an essay on it, and then he opens up a chat. And so the last week, well, I was out of town, so last week was The Departed. So I'm playing catch up, and we've done Kill Bill, we've done Seven, we've done Love and Basketball, and The Departed. And I think this weekend is Jurassic Park.
Okay, you gotta. Well, tomorrow night, I don't know if you know this. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, you get the three episode premiere of Andor season two.
Oh, I haven't even seen season one yet. Oh, I'm so behind.
So Denise has not seen season one, so she's agreed to watch it because I wanted to rewatch season one.
There's not that many episodes, right?
No, there's only like eight. Okay. But it is the best Star Wars. I mean, if you liked Rogue One, a lot of people have chosen Rogue One as their favorite Star Wars because it is very Star Wars. It's very action. It's very adventure, but a lot of heart, a lot of character development. This is the lead up to Rogue One, and they did such a fantastic job of keeping the faith of Rogue One and the feel of it that I'm very excited. Rotten Tomatoes is already, I think, already has 98% on season two of people.
Nice. And it's the last one. They're not doing a third season.
Because this leads, season two goes right into Rogue One. So yeah. After you watch season two, you just pop in
Rogue One.
Rogue One and go from there. So
yeah. See the AI generated Princess Leia.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Because when you're done with Rogue One, you can just fire in A New Hope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There you go. All right. Thanks everybody for checking us out on video and on audio. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a better than 500 week for the Giants, Brewers and Rangers. So for Brad, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply.